All right, call a meeting to order of the Public Safety Commission, 24 June 2024. Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Commissioner Murphy is absent. Commissioner Stewart?
Here.
Commissioner Baker?
Here.
Commissioner Bauer?
Here.
Commissioner Callahan is absent. Commissioner Gillette?
Ma'am.
And Commissioner Perkins?
Here.
Does anybody have any alterations to the agenda?
Pat, can we add on a bill for the in line of duty, the packet that I sent to you guys, so that we can just talk about it?
Have a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we'll make that item 13A, discussion of the line of duty depth for emergency responders.
Thank you.
Anybody else? Any special recognitions or presentations tonight? I'm not aware of any. Okay. Communications. Hopefully everybody received at least most of the reports. The one is the building department. We got that one. Animal control, we got those. Police, we have those. Fire marshal, we have Montville and Oakdale. As far as their numbers. Any idea about?
I reached out to Mohegan because I haven't had his in. We're in contact with each other. He's just working on trying to run the reports. So I said, okay, I'll let the commission know.
Yeah, I mean, we're getting them from company one and company four, and most of the time from three, but they're supposedly all using the same program, so I don't know why we can't get that. Okay. To consider an act on a motion to approve the minutes from the regular meeting of May 27th, 2024.
Motion to approve.
Have a second?
Second.
Any comments, corrections, changes?
I have some corrections, if I may. Lori, I can probably give you these after the meeting, so it'll be even easier after I tell them to. I'm sorry. I have some corrections, and what I'll do is I will let you know what they are, and then I will send them to you, so you have them, make it a little bit easier on your life for you.
We'll go through them now for the record, and then
yes,
you can
I
give her the
yes, I will.
Markup.
I got them all highlighted out here. Give me a second. Okay, on page 7 of 10, under C for discussion, condition replacement of Chesterfield M37 rescue truck. The second sentence, it says, Chief Truex reported that a medium-duty rescue, that was actually a rescue pumper. The cost of $1 million or 1.2, that's not what he was looking for. So that should have been a rescue pumper that he talked about. So after medium, actually, you should strike the word medium and just put in, and duty, it should just be rescue pumper. Going down to the next two more sentences, says he also reported having spoken with U.S. Fire Apparatus about an F-50 light duty. That's an F-550, 550. The next sentence, the company does custom build with a 400,000 pound left to exceed the truck GVM. That should be 4,000 pounds. And GVM should be GVW. The next page, which is page 8 of 10, probably two-thirds of the way down, it, again, that 400,000-pound max weight, it should be actually 4,000 pounds. A few sentences after that, it said the chief described the protocol for what happens when an MDA occurs. That should be MVA. I misspoke when I reported on the ISO. That is the Insurance Services Officers, not Organization. Let's see here. On page 9 of 10, remarks from the public. So Deputy Fire Marshal Miguel, am I saying it right? No, I'm butchering it. Miguel, okay. Reported on receiving $50 Don worth of batteries for smoke detector. That should be donation, I would assume. So instead of Don, it would be donation. And let me just make sure. I thought I had one more, but maybe not. Nope, that's it. It's the only thing I saw.
I assume that's make that a motion.
The motion. If somebody wants to.
Amend it. On page 9 of 10, the motion by Vice Chair Stewart, seconded by Perkins, to support the capital improvement item for replacement of the Chesterfield. I'm really sure I did not second it. You can leave me in there?
Yeah, I guess you'd have to go back and listen to the tape.
Yeah, it's about the only way we can figure it out.
It's about the only way
to. I did.
Okay, there you go.
Okay. I voted against it.
I have a second on the corrections to the minutes.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right. Mostly editorial changes. Remarks from the public, agenda items only, 3-minute limit. Remarks from the public.
Good evening. Timothy Condon, Montville Professional Firefighters, 51 Gallup Lane, Waterford, Connecticut. I just want to make a comment about item, or what is on the agenda, I guess would be item 12B, but currently printed out as 12A, the Consider an Act on the Motion to Approve a Policy to Systemize and Retain Firefighter Data and to Observe Trends and Effectiveness. I just want to make a comment about last month. There was some comments made about the ability of the four fire companies to comply with this, that there was some monetary issues that they would be facing. I just want to make it known that the policy that, or not policy, procedure, that when we sat with the mayor back in January or February, I believe, was to utilize a system that the town currently owned. So there would be no cost increase if we went one way instead of another if there was an issue with the fire companies incurring costs. The town already does have a program that we can utilize. And that was it. Thank you.
Thank you. Remarks from the public, agenda items only. Remarks from the public, agenda items only. Last chance. Remarks from the public, agenda item only. Remarks from department heads.
Good evening. Dave Rodford from Lieutenant Montville Police. Commissioner Gillette has the police department stats. I'll start off with the animal control stats. Before I start, if anybody has noticed or caught on, the stats from last month for year-to-date are significantly different than this month's year-to-date. And the reason for that is that the animal control officer had started his stats when he took over from January forward. So he went back and encompassed the rest of the stats from July through November. There was no stats available or found for December So there is a month that's missing, but that's the difference in the year-to-date stats from last month to this month. So the town of Montville animal control for the month of May, 7 animals impounded for a total of 95 year-to-date, 4 sold as pet, total of 55. We have 63 total complaints investigated for a total of 678 year-to-date. We had 2 enforcement actions in 19 year-to-date, and then 63 other calls for service for 286 year-to-date. The May report for the town of Salem, there were 2 animals impounded for 13 year-to-date, 1 animal sold as a pet for 1 year-to-date. Total complaints investigated were 8 for 53 year-to-date. And those are the animal control stats. We ended our speed enforcement grant, our high-risk rural road speed enforcement grant, in May, the end of May. I just wanted to give you some basic information on that. We ended up spending almost $49,000 for grant activities. That includes 4 new radar systems for the town, as well as all the enforcement action, which our officers worked 57 days total, and they worked 462 hours total. They had a total of 887 stops in a 3-month period. Of those stops, the numbers I'm going to read now were just fractions or summonses, so formal enforcement, if you will. We had 2 DUIs out of it. We got 7 suspended licenses, 4 uninsured motorists, 72 speeding, 26 other citations issued, and the remaining of the 887 was all warnings for speeding. And again, it was about education and slowing the motoring public down. And that's all I have, unless you have any questions.
I have a question, not to put you on the spot, but yes, is there any information on Gardner Lake Boat Patrol?
The Gardner Lake Boat Patrol, I don't have any stats.
Wise.
I'm sorry?
Activity-wise.
I don't have any stats. I haven't gotten a report yet on that, but I know we are going out on a weekend, you know, every week we're going out and doing our patrols.
Yeah, I think it's important to point out that we are getting out there and we're doing the best we can to provide some visibility to make sure that all is safe on that lake.
Yes, sir.
I have a couple quick questions. First, the you talked about the radar units. Are those vehicle-mounted radar units or the ones on the side of the road?
Yes, these are vehicle-mounted. They're actually, because it was under a grant and I had, or we had a cap on what we could spend, we kind of went for the Mac Daddies, if you will. So mm-hmm. they're dual-head radars mounted on the vehicles. They catch vehicles coming at them, going in motion, standing still. They kind of do a little bit of everything.
How many of the road or the side of the road units do we have? 1 or 2?
We have 3 of those.
Oh, 3. Okay.
One of them is currently down because one of the storms, a branch broke the cover. So we're in the process of getting that replaced. But we have 3 that we move periodically throughout the town.
Very good. The article in the paper, I don't know if anybody gets the day anymore. I'm old school. Nice article, though. It's about drawing blood for testing for DUIs and whatnot. You want to talk on that a little bit?
Yes, sir. I'm glad you brought that up because I did forget to mention that. The state has undertaken a new law enforcement phlebotomy program, and what that means is they are going through training law enforcement officers who have the interest in becoming a nationally certified phlebotomist for law enforcement purposes. And that's in relations to DUIs. If we have a DUI accident, or a DUI period, whether it's an accident or just a simple DUI where a person can voluntarily opt to give blood, or if it's an extreme case, a fatal or something that we need to do it, we'll do it by search warrant. We now have, the town of Montville now has 2 certified officers, certified phlebotomists that can draw blood from individuals, either again by consent or by a warrant only. We can't force somebody to do it absent those two, and it's not done roadside. It's done at the police station.
They don't. You don't have the capability of analyzing the blood there. You send it out.
Correct. The blood is drawn, what we're doing is we're just basically circumventing the hospital. Instead of wasting time having to go to the hospital, we can do it within, and then we follow the normal course where we send the blood samples to the state lab for analyzing.
Any other questions for Lieutenant?
And that was all done, not to interrupt, sir, that was all done, again, by state grant. And we will be in the future, once they've it's kind of in the beginning stages of it. I think there's only 10 or 12 throughout the state that are certified at this point. And once they get further down it, they will be providing us with a phlebotomy chair through the grant to have the proper setting for drawing the blood.
So that brings up an interesting question. Are we using this or offering this capability to surrounding towns as mutual aid?
Yes, we are. As part of the grant, that's the agreement. And more monthly or maybe even bi-monthly at this point, they're running continuous classes up at American Ambulance or whatever it's called now, in the hopes to get as many as they can. Like, we have a couple more interested that down the road we might send.
So you said there's 10 in the state, so Montville has two?
Yes.
And who's the closest surrounding town that has any?
I'm not sure, to be honest with you. We haven't gotten an actual...
Hartford's
the next closest. Yeah, so once, you know, once it gets up and running, they could, in theory, become very busy.
I tell you.
Anything else? Very good. Thank you.
Paul Barnes, Fire Marshal. Activity report for the Fire Marshal's Office for the month of May. 39 business and apartment inspections. We had no fire investigations. Deputy Fire Marshal responded to 7 incidents. I was requested to the scene 5 times. We issued 11 burn permits. We had no illegal burns and a construction project inspection 4 times. During the month of May, we had a total of 12 hours that were spent on emergency management obligations. Also on June 4th, we had our evaluated millstone drill. The drill started at 8 a.m. and lasted until noon. We were evaluated by 2 FEMA representatives and a representative from Dominion Millstone. This year was a hostile action-based scenario centered on millstone. On June 10th, there was a debriefing held at Fort Trumbull for the exercise. Both FEMA and Dominion Millstone gave Montville EOC high marks. There was one question that came up during the scenario where we got the question right. The FEMA evaluators questioned us on it. We contacted the state EOC. The state EOC backed us on the answer, and we got credit for it. Also, too, with the town council passing the new budget, we did have one opening for a new firefighter. We did hire a new firefighter EMT. His name is Darren Jones. He is a town resident. He comes to us from the Mashantucket Pequot Tribal Fire Department. He comes with more than 10 years of experience, and he will start on July 1st.
Very good. One question. Mm-hmm. In the millstone drill, a continuing question has come up, and I just wonder if there's any follow-up or any plans, and that is the providing monitoring for fire, the police, outside of the EOC.
Correct.
Are we developing something on that?
I'm waiting on something in writing from Mike Caplet, but I did have an official answer from him. Since the Montville Police are now independent, they will get their dosimetry, and the volunteer firefighters will get their dosimetry from the EOC.
Okay. Very good. Anybody else have any questions? Thank you very much. Committee and liaison reports. Commissioner Perkins. Fire Department.
As you know, you received your reports. I'll talk to Mohegan again, but I did talk to him today. Find out what's going on with his reports. I had sent you these reports that began back in February of 2024. They're the incident reports from the paid firefighter. Is that something that you guys would like to see so you can see the breakdown, or do you feel it's a waste of time?
I personally would want to look at it before I make any judgment in that regard.
Do you want it explained?
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea.
I'm sorry?
Yes.
Tim, can you come up?
Everybody has a copy, I assume. Mm-hmm.
Can you explain these numbers?
Sure.
So this report kind of, Timothy Condon, Montville Union President. This report dates back to, I believe, Mr. Uchnick, and actually when you were a town councilor, sir. The council at the time wanted to see breakdown, which the career staff tracks this as best we can, and we vet this each month by taking the CAD program and going against what we were able to collect. So this is just some. We tried to put something together because one of the issues that this commission keeps bringing back up is taking each number of each company and saying, well, this one reporting four fires, and this one's reporting four fires. Did we have eight fires? Did we have four fires? So we tried to put this into, tried to take all that information and push it together, because our group is spanned across all four fire companies. We can more easily see it. And what we tried to give you here was hard numbers. So these are something that we can give you with a high rate of reliability, because these are based on the CAD software at dispatch and what we're collecting, and then breaking it back out. So the reason it goes back to February is just because I want to say in February it was requested from somebody, from us. But it's pretty self-explanatory. Across the top there, you can see calls dispatched, and goes across each month, and that is broken out. Those are total calls for each company. And that's how many times they were toned, total calls and then toned. So some of these, if you try to add these up, they don't add up, because what we're tracking is how many times that company was called versus the actual amount of calls there are. So there was, let's take May, there was 250 calls. If you add up Montville and Mohegan alone, it's over 250, but it's because they were going to the same calls. So it tracks each individual, and then it tracks the town as a total, which I think is what this commission was trying to get at. Then we break it up by fire calls, EMS, MVA, hazmat, mutual aid, and then service calls. So you can see far and away we're doing most of what our call volume is EMS. So again, for May, we had 10 structural type fire calls townwide, 227 EMS, 5 ambulance, 1 hazmat, 3 mutual aid, and 4 service calls. That's just like a catch-all basket. Then we break out the EMS calls, and again, because of how we are currently running, these calls are duplicated. So this is how many times each company was dispatched, but most of our ambulance calls, if you listen to us, are two company calls now. So again, these numbers won't add up to the grand total of 250, or the 227, but it's because it's taking each company, and that's how many times they were requested to respond. So because of the radon issues at the Montville Firehouse, we are currently at Mohegan. So you can see Mohegan far and away is doing the most ambulance calls. Of the 227, they were requested 169 times. And then the breakout, Montville was toned out 107, Chesterfield 43, Oakdale 64. The next column is a no response. So what we are tracking is this is a no response, not a volunteers, but a straight no response. So we count when we're in those fire companies. If we respond with them, then that's a response. So again, because Mottville has a radon issue, of the 107, they missed 98 ambulance calls. Mohegan missed 11, Chesterfield 1, Oakdale 7. There was another column here which broke it out by percentage, but that's missing. I apologize. Then it goes to the first due fire calls, so you can track where the fire calls are happening, and that's broken out. As it's shown, first due EMS shows you where what part of the town those ambulance calls are occurring. Again, you can see Mottville, Mohegan are busier side of town. Then we go to which ambulances are responding, which is just another way to look at that same data. So you can see, in comparison, 101 went out 7 times, the paid staff being at Mohegan went out 154 times. On the back side, if it's two-sided for you, we gave the disposition of those calls, if they were transports, non-transports, lift assists, and others. So you can see there that most of the time we are transporting. And then we gave the final is who completed these crews. So we track it by career staff, career plus one volunteer, all volunteer, and mutual aid. So career, in again, month of May, 161, career plus one volunteer, 18, all volunteer, 46, and mutual aid, 2. So again, this is just trying to give you, we're tracking a lot more than this. We can give you further breakouts, but this is the type of thing that when you go to look at your data policy, we're using Google Forms to do this. This is not a purpose-built program. This is something that the career staff we developed using Google over the course of a few days, and every month we go back and look at it, and we try to increase our rate of accuracy. So I can tell you, if we had access to an XLS-based program, like what the town currently has or what the fire companies are using, this data can be broken out in any way, shape, or form. We have to, when we do this, we have to actually ask these questions of the program and then manually enter it back in. Some of the other things that we could give you that we do have is time of day. What time of day are volunteers getting out? What time of day, or what days of the week are they most active? What days of the week are we most active? What days of the week are we calling for ambulances the most? When do we see the highest rate of fire calls? But we have, that's very laborious in that we have to keep entering that data. If we had access to, again, an XLS program, this could all be done much faster. And the nice thing about that in an XLS based is you don't have to know the question now. So part of the issue with how I presented this information to you and some of the ways that we should be talking about how we're collecting data is, in one mechanism, you're going to have to know what the questions that you want to know the answers to now, and the program will have to be built around that. But you won't be able to ask additional questions. If you get into something that we already own, the ESO program, you don't have to know those questions. You can ask whatever question at whatever time, and the program can filter it back out. So that's kind of one of the benefits. But we just wanted to show you here what the data that could be coming forward would look like. I know that there's always questions of how accurate is the data that we're getting, but this is just giving you a glimpse at what's possible.
Is this something that dispatch can?
No. So our CAD program isn't designed for this. So the CAD program tracks the calls, the times, it assigns run numbers, but it doesn't produce the data in this fashion, and it's too much to ask that program to even do. When we talk about, like, the dispatching software is for dispatching, the firehouse software that we used to run, which I think the fire companies now use EMS charts for most of their stuff, that's purpose built for this type of thing. We can't really ask that program to give us that.
And that's the ESO program is what the four departments have right now to do EMS charts and all that other stuff.
No, they use EMS charts. Paul in his office is using ESO for inspections, but with that program comes all the capabilities to do everything that we're showing.
And what is the name of this program?
ESO.
This is from the ESO.
No. This is something that we've developed using Google. That we're actually inputting data to try to get the information spit back out. So we're taking in the raw data, and what we've developed is actually a form that asks you specific questions. By answering those on an individual basis of the call, it then spits out. I have charts and graphs and everything that I can't give to you in this format. I could publish it, but I don't want to publish it because I want to make sure that there's a high rate of accuracy. So I'm giving you what's accurate. But no, we're not using.
So has this been reviewed by the four chiefs? Is the information here?
This information hasn't been reviewed by them. No.
Okay. Who inputs the information?
We do.
Okay. You being the career staff.
Yeah. Yep.
The volunteer staff don't input anything here.
No. So the program that the ESO program, and that, so that's a great point. So the program that we, jumping ahead to item 12 there. The program that we had suggested using, the ESO program that the town already owns and purchases, has a CAD link already linked to dispatch. So the beauty of that is we will never miss a dispatch. The other half of that is what we had proposed was we didn't want to add any additional burden to the fire company. So for those of you that know, the fire companies are responsible to report to the state of Connecticut and to the national government reports called NFERS. It's National Incident Reporting. They have that. So when we were talking about this, we didn't want to add another burden to the volunteer. So what we had proposed was a system where we would enter the bulk of the data. The volunteers could enter the data also, so that each group from the collective fire service would have a hand in seeing and inputting the data, so that there wouldn't be a question of, well, you did this, or I did that, or how did this come in? And we created a system where it didn't put the additional burden on the fire companies. The paid staff would enter the information. The fire marshal's office would vet that information. The fire chiefs, through their whoever they so choose or themselves, would then vet the information that's in there. The program that we have actually allows for scanned in documentation, so that we could actually scan in what's coming in from the fire companies, so that we know that if what we're inputting versus what the company has, they match, then the companies would lock that. They would agree that this information is correct, and it would be locked, and then would be used for this type of thing to distribute accurate information.
And this is the Google?
No. What we're using is Google. This is what we're just trying to do to try to, you know, get a grasp of what's going on out there while we're waiting for this other program, whatever it's going to be, to come online.
So
I think
this links to ESO then?
This doesn't.
Does not.
No, this does not. But the CAD software, so when dispatch, when you pick up a call, when you pick up the phone, call 911, that dispatcher is going to, you know, start a case number.
Right.
That case number automatically gets ported to the ESO program right now. We're just not using it.
Which is in Paul's office.
Office, which is the ESO program that we're trying to advocate that you use, because there's no cost and we already have that software.
But the ESO program costs $8,000 a year.
But you have to have it because they use it for the inspections.
Right, so there's a cost.
Well, I'm sorry, you're right. Yes, there is a cost, but we already
But you're
have
already
to,
paying for it, whether we use it or not. It's
correct.
It's being,
okay. Right.
So
there'd be no additional cost of the $8,000, right?
No, because the fire marshal's office has to have this program for the way that they're doing their inspections, and as part of this program comes the access to this software.
We also want to keep in mind that this is a new cost. This is something that we've been paying for a while. This is a relatively new cost.
2 years? 3 years? How many years have you had that?
2 years.
2 years? Yeah.
3 years now.
Yeah.
That's true, but we haven't been using it until the recent.
Sorry.
We haven't been using it till recent.
We've
within the past year.
We've been building it. We had to build it from the ground up.
So we haven't been using it to record any of our inspections or anything until the past, what, 8 months?
I was fully using it to do the NFERS, and then when I lost the NFERS, we started building the properties.
Right.
We couldn't do anything with it until we built the properties. Now they're built, now we're using it.
So you're paying $8,000 no matter what, whether everybody jumps on that new system or not?
Doesn't matter.
But if I remember somewhere during the conversation last month when Chief Messer was talking about this, and I think it was broached by Chief Truex through a comment that you had made, Commissioner, I thought that Chief Messer said that the fire departments were the system they're building, they're incurring the cost. They're not, the town's not incurring the cost.
Yeah, so the issue, and you'd have to ask them, but I've been having really, really, really good discussions with Chief Messer, and I don't want to speak for him. And I would prefer that you hear it from him, but when we were talking about this, trying to get on a good footing of making sure each side understands the motives behind something so, you know, we can move forward. The issue that the four fire companies, and I'm saying this, I'm imagining, because when they went to the four separate NFERS numbers, the problem that they're going to have is that they have to spool together four separate data streams into one, which is where I come into the question of, you have to know what questions you want to ask on the front, because they have to take these four programs and spin them into one to give you the information that you want. What we're proposing is basically taking that, leaving them run their four systems, and creating a new data stream with their data sets that they have access and can vet without an additional cost to them, or trying to figure out how to spool these four systems together. Because they all are using EMS charts, but they, I'm going to imagine the issue they might be running into is that they are four separate agencies with four different FDIDs, where because the town doesn't have an FDID, this program would only be staying in town. It wouldn't be going, they're still, the four fire companies would still be responsible for reporting to the federal government. This would just be internal usage only.
So these would not be reported to NFERS?
No. The fire companies have to have that responsibility. They have the FDID and bear that responsibility. This would solely be for in-town usage, for taking, because you are one town, whereas they are four separate agencies. They must report on an individual basis, but the information doesn't do you any good in that manner. You have to put it together as one. So that's why when we came up with the system, when we sat with the mayor, was because they already bear that responsibility, we didn't think it was fair to add another responsibility to them, so the career staff could initiate it and do the bulk of the work, and they would have a verification process. And then two, you know, Chief Truex last month, I heard him say, you know, they want to add in volunteer hours. That program could do all of that. It's basically the same program that they're using, just a different, you know, manufacturer.
And as you said before, so the chiefs, just say they're the ones who are inputting, they can get into the system and input.
Yeah.
The volunteer side. They don't have to say, here, Tim, input this for me. They can do it themselves with their numbers.
Yeah, no, yes, 100%. And two, I would actually advocate for that, because what we don't want, what we're trying to do is get to a state of reliability, because the last thing you want is to get a data set and then for somebody to throw rocks at it and say it's inaccurate. So it's better to have everybody have access to it, even if it's just verifying one way or the other, and then giving everybody eyes on it so that there's no surprises and there's no, you know, specter of impropriety or something like that, you know?
Do they know about this Google report?
So, yes. If I have sat with many of the volunteers and the fire chiefs, and I've offered any of them at any point in time, we're not trying to hide anything. I will share this with anybody who wants to see it. I don't want to share it in a public forum unless I have a high rate of accuracy, but the underlying tones of what's going on, while it may not be 100% accurate, it's giving you this is the rhythm of what's going on. It may not be 100% accurate, but this is what's happening on the street.
Is that something that maybe we can have a meeting, the chiefs, mayor, liaison?
Well,
you,
I think.
Marshall?
I think that, you know, you have on your agenda the item 12A. I don't see why that wouldn't be appropriate. We met with the mayor back, was it February, Mr. Mayor, or January? and we had a great discussion with him on this exact topic, which is, because this came to you actually last October. I think this has been on your agenda. The mayor raised a lot of really good concerns and questions, and we sat right there with him, myself, Ryan Scholes, and the fire marshal, Barnes, and we sat there, and we came up with the exact system I just kind of laid out to you. We reduced it to writing, gave it to him. I believe that that went to the fire chiefs. They have seen that, what we spoke about, which I talked to Chief Messer about, and that's how we were talking about, you know, because they are on the EMS charts, trying to figure out if it could be put into one.
Anything else?
Just think we just kind of skipped ahead to 12A.
Yeah, kind
of. Well, I'm trying to get us back on.
So this is a report.
Good report. I mean, it's movement.
Is it
That's
something
good.
That you would like to see me to present monthly, not 4 or 5 months at a time, do it monthly, or do you want to add it to the agenda to talk
well,
about it next
since
time?
It's
what did you want to do?
More or less on the agenda now is item 12A. Ultimately, the answer is yes, I'd like to see it every month. But what I'd like to see is the final, not, I don't want to say final report, but the report that has everybody's input in it. Okay? I want the chiefs to get in there and provide the data or vet the data that's there. I mean, this idea of getting it from one location, the information is out there. It's not like it's just one organization picking little pieces of information. It's a matter of getting these people to all work together.
This, if I just may, this is just interim data
yeah.
until the main data set comes online.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I imagine it would. The format would be different, and I understand that, but. You know, like, I mean, there would have to be some interpretation provided at, you know, the call types. Fire, there were 10 fire calls. Well, yeah, there were 10 fire calls, but there weren't 10 fires. If you go back to the fire marshal's report, we didn't investigate any fires. So you get toned out for it, but doesn't mean there's a fire. So.
That's something the ESO program would, you ask that question, doesn't matter how it gets entered, you have that question and we can pull it back out any manner that you, that's the benefit of that style system.
And I think that's what was brought up when we talked about it the last meeting when the liaison, the town council liaison was talking about it, is when we received reports from the four fire departments, they were questioned, is this, you went out for Chesterfield, Montville, Oakdale, whatever, 10 fires. Did all four of those fire departments go out to the fire? That's what they were looking at for breakdown. I looked and asked. Couldn't get.
Well, typically, for a fire call,
all right,
it's going to be all four companies.
Ambulance or.
Yeah. But that's.
You were asking. I can give you a copy of what we reduced to writing to the mayor, so you could. I mean, you're going to want to see that eventually, anyway.
So. Thank you.
Your proposal, for the system. Using the system that the fire marshal uses now.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I saw a copy of that, and I have some issues with that. I really do, and I read it 5 times. And I, matter of fact, I put a watered down version of that on my computer because there's a lot of word salad in there that I think is unnecessary. And I think we should just get to the point and be it and be done with it if we're going to do it. But I mean, I've read it several times, and I have some issues about who has access to it. Seems only some people have limited access to it, others have grander access to it. Well, why would a fire chief only have limited access to it? And it's in there. So he's the fire chief. Whatever version it is, I have the version that was.
And it's a working document, number one. Number two,
right.
I talked to them was that they're already makes sense to try to take what they have and try to pull it together. It just doesn't seem like there's going to be a possibility to do that. So we're going to have to recreate it. If it's an access issue, I don't think that's... This is basically built on what we used to do when in Waterford with the firehouse software, how we used to run that. It's basically how it's kind of installed the system. So in that system, you remember everybody had access to that.
Well, the other thing too is, and the mayor asked a question. You know, has this been reviewed by the four chiefs? And before I see something myself personally like this come across the table, I would like to see this vetted by the four chiefs as well. So we're going to make sure everybody's on the same page here.
Yep.
If somebody's not turning left when they should be turning right, and I don't want any miscommunications or understandings with anybody.
I think the four chiefs should come in and speak to it.
Yep.
A lot to be explained or to be thought out, defined. When you talk about no EMS calls, I'm not sure what that means.
It means that in that case, the fire company that was where the call originally did not respond. So in this case, so Oakdale had 7 calls that they didn't respond to.
So, not to interrupt you, Mr. Mayor, I'm sorry, and I didn't mean, didn't want you to lose your thought train, but it just brought something to me. You're saying they did not respond to, so we're saying just for instance, I don't know where the call could have been. We'll say the call was in Oakdale and you guys were domiciled in Chesterfield that night. You're telling me M400 didn't make it out.
Correct.
And 300 took the call.
Correct.
Is that what, that's what you're saying?
Yeah, so in the town of Montville, you have 4 separate PSAs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I will. I realize
that. Even though you're one town, they
yeah.
want you as your 4 separate agencies.
Mm-hmm.
So technically, whenever your ambulances go to another district, that's mutual aid.
Mm-hmm.
So what we're tracking here is who has responsibility within that PSA and did they respond to that call?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what you're seeing is how many times that company that has that responsibility to that PSA did not get out. It doesn't mean that an ambulance didn't arrive at a call. It's not like somebody's still waiting out there for
In all of this, no call was ever missed.
No call's ever missed. Now, that needs a definition.
Mm-hmm.
A definition of nobody was waiting for service to somebody showed up. However, under OMS guidelines, yes, those calls were missed because the PSA that is assigned to that, they did not respond, and that constitutes a miss for that organization.
Yep.
That's not something that just happens in this town. It happens all over. Do you agree? I mean, it happens in Waterford, it happens all over.
You're 100% correct. However, the difference in this town is we are one of only like 7 multi-jurisdictional towns. Waterford has 1 PSA, Eastline has 1 PSA, Ledger has 1 PSA, we have 4. So in the eyes of OEMS, as a regulatory agency, we are looked at as if we're 4 separate towns. So the, and you have 4 separate agreements for each one of these agencies. It's the commission. You are the public's eyes to watch. So while yes, an ambulance from another agency in town got there, you know they're missing their own district's call. So does it happen in other towns? Not in the same mechanism that happens here, because we have 2 of your fire companies get their protocols out of the helmet, 2 of them out of Atlas. So we this town doesn't even have 1. Agency that oversees everybody here.
Yeah, but that's OEMS driven, not by our own means.
No,
no, that's the hospitals.
But it's your job to oversee this. So to know that these companies are hitting benchmarks, that's what we're all here for.
Another thing I want to point out is the numbers on mutual aid on the back side of the page. You say mutual aid could be Chesterfield responding to Mohegan's area.
Yeah, no. So how? And that's a great question too. So usually, how we define it is incoming mutual aid that took an ambulance call. So that's mainly
incoming from another
Mohegan tribe. Mainly is what that is.
Tribe, Eastline.
It could be, yeah. But mainly, what this town utilizes is Mohegan tribe. So this isn't.
out here, I just want to, I think it's important to identify how many times that we are relying on an outside agency, not Chesterfield to Mohegan. How many times we're relying on someone to cover a call.
Right, so that is under EMS transport, so
okay.
It says mutually that is that number. Again, this is not meant to be end all. It's just trying to, we have no eyes. We have no data. So, you know, it is all of our job to try to see what's going on out there. This is not to say it's the best. It's not. This is a program that we built to try to give you an idea and an interest in truly correcting the problem. I definitely do not want this to become a report that you're relying on. I want you to have your own system that the town owns, but the key here is so that nobody has any questions over the data set. Because when we start analyzing the data and the data starts pointing us in a direction that maybe might be uncomfortable for the career staff or uncomfortable for the volunteers, we need to not make sure that we are making decisions based on mission drift. We need to be based on what's best for the public. So the first thing that we have to do as an organization is get a data set that is highly reliable, that nobody can point a finger at and say, well, you didn't take into this account or that account. And I understand that this document does exactly that. It's not intended to be the document. It was meant to drive interest to create that document where nobody, that the data becomes beyond reproach, where we can all, when somebody comes up and says, oh, this is based on data, not based on the fire chief or the union president or on the fire marshal or on the board, we should all collectively see that data so that we make the best choices so that we don't suffer from mission drift.
Anything else? Thank you. Yeah, that was a good report.
That's all I have.
Oh,
so did we? All? So did we decide we're going to keep that every month?
That song go?
I
think we voted.
We'll talk about that under new business or remarks. I mean, again, I would like to see it every month, but I don't. But I want the information to come from everybody that's involved. The chiefs need to get involved and provide, whether it's in this format or through the ESO, that's fine. But so we'll just have to push that.
Yeah, because we need to message out to the chiefs, because I don't know if they've been messaged. I mean, we can't even, we get three of the four data points every month. To your point earlier,
well,
how are we going to get a fourth chief on board to
start
do this?
With so our liaison to the fire departments, Commissioner Perkins, to light a fire under them.
Absolutely.
Report from Animal Control. Well, we got the reports, and Commissioner Callahan is out of state for a couple months. Any questions on that? One of the ideas was to come up with somebody to take her place while she's out of town, but I don't know that there's anything going on with the animal control facility that needs liaison. It's going to get built, right?
Well, why don't we maybe going forward, we can ask the police department to provide a report on animal control. As far as the facility goes, I'll mention that in my report.
Sounds good.
That's fair.
Report from police department liaison, Commissioner Gillette.
All right, total call of service, 1,263. Infractions, 38. Juvenile summons, 2. Misdemeanor, 12. Written warning, 281. Total citations, 333. And that's all I have. LT, talk about everything else. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, going back to the animal control, I believe the lieutenant did provide some information about animal control, but maybe going forward again, elaborate on a little more.
Well, mostly at this point in time, the operation of the existing facility is going on okay, but I think in everybody's mind is also the idea of what's transpiring with the new facility bonding being approved and design and everything. Right on it. On the police report, Commissioner Gillette, if I'm not mistaken, this report is a monthly report. Can we arrange to have year-end figures, because this is the last month of the fiscal year, so we should know how many.
I usually gives us a year-end report.
Yep. Terrific. Building department. Oh, that's me. Well, we have a report. Hopefully, we'll continue getting a report every month. I will read it into the record. For the month of May, permits issued 85, pending permits 123, inspections 114, active blight 242, and blight abated to date 526. And that's from Doug Coulter. Now, is he still COG?
That's in my report too.
Okay.
Before you move off of that, Steve, on the report from the building official on permits issued, can that be broken down a little further? How many residential, how many commercial, how many industrial, you know, so we got an idea of how things are going as far and where they're headed? Is that there a way that can be broken down?
I will talk to him.
Perfect.
I felt lucky at this point in time to get a report.
No. I just wondered if we could get a little.
Okay, that takes care of committee and liaison reports. Remarks from the fire chiefs. Outstanding fire chiefs here. Unfinished business. Item 12A, to consider an act on a motion to approve a policy to systemize and retain firefighter data. I think we've talked about this. Is there any more discussion we want to have on
just
this?
Just keep it on the agenda.
Okay.
Chairman, I'd like to see the liaison to the fire department contact the chiefs and review some of the information here and get their input.
Okay.
Maybe they have some suggestions to tweak it to make it more official, so that you can use the statistics from that. See what happens.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that it ought to be. Emphasize that this is not to point fingers or make anything anybody look worse than anybody else or anything. So, okay. So we'll leave item 12A on the agenda. And 12B, fire company's radio system upgrades. Commissioner Baker.
I have nothing further other than from what we learned last month from.
Okay.
Chief Messer, as soon as he gets more information, I know he mentioned funding, so I know we're going into another budget year, and I'm sure he's waiting for a little bit more information back from the state.
I can say that the finance director has some of that question to where the money is there, and at least a portion of it, and we are moving forward with it.
Excellent.
Lieutenant.
If I may, Mr. Chairman, I just want to make a quick comment on that. We haven't had a meeting yet, but we have a little bit of information from Communications Plus that there may be a way to get the system to work until we can do the upgrade, as the mayor was just talking about, without spending an excessive amount of money, wasting an excessive amount of money.
You're talking the upgrade for dispatch?
Yes. Well, the integration of the fire department channels to the current system that we have until we're able to upgrade it.
Okay. All right, thank you. New business, discussion on the line of duty death policy coming out from the state. Did you want to talk about this?
Sure. Tim, can you step up? explain this policy, or Bill, that was...
So this Public Act 2416 was passed in May, and what this does is this extends benefits to those who die in line of duty, and they're defining line of duty death as those who are part of police departments, fire departments, and emergency medical services, who pass within or up to 24 hours after going on a call or completing a shift to die of a pulmonary embolism, heart attack, stroke, things of those nature.
Tim, they're having a hard time hearing you. Can you get back?
I don't think that's on. Is it not on? It is on.
Test, test. Is that better? Green light's on now. So this...
Can you hear him?
Yeah. So what this does is it allows the chief of agency, police, fire, or EMS, to declare that line of duty death, which obviously accesses a lot of benefits for the families. The issue why I asked for this to be brought forward is we do not have a chief of service here in the town of Mottville because we don't have a fire department. The act, if you look on page 2, item B, the underlined section, bottom of the page, states that a town may act through ordinance to provide for a different authority other than the fire chief. So what we would be asking is obviously not to take any rights away from the chief of police or the volunteer companies, but we as the career staff of the town of Mottville, need somebody to declare for us because we don't have a chief of agency. It could obviously be the mayor. It could be Fire Marshal Barnes. If you read into this, just jumping ahead a little bit, you probably don't want it to be the mayor only because it calls into question. It's trying to draw a bright line between defining a line of duty death and putting the town on the hook for benefits of like workers' comp. So you might put yourself, you know, a legal question I guess would have to ask is if you're putting yourself in a box because you have the head of a town defining a line of duty death. But regardless, we just need somebody to declare for us. So the issue here is we have to have an ordinance on the books by October 1, 24. So what we were asking is obviously this should go through your hands with a request to town council for the creation of an ordinance if you see fit to declare somebody or assign somebody to declare for the career staff in the event of a line of duty death. We're just looking to get equal coverage at our other first responders here in town get.
So just to clarify here, you're asking the Public Safety Commission to create or to authorize or recommend?
Recommend.
An ordinance.
Yes, sir. Yeah, if they see fit, which obviously we're on a tight timeline, unfortunately. Because if you make this request to town council, they'll first see it in July. They could talk about it in August, have to make passage in September, or have a special meeting because it needs to be on the books by October 1. So it is a tight deadline. Also, this could go to legal review. The way I interpret it is it has to be on by October 1, but you know, legal may have a different definition. Maybe they're just saying it has to be on the books by the time it goes into effect, or... I don't know if you can declare after that, but I'm not a lawyer, so I ask now.
Is it possible, Mr. Mayor, that between now and our next meeting in July, you could meet with legal staff and draft an ordinance, a proposed ordinance that could be presented to us at our next meeting to act on that? Would that be possible?
I can't say anything about the timeline. If the commission decides to recommend to the town council to authorize that, then that's up to you.
Then it doesn't have to come back to us if we just recommended to push it through to town council, then town council's...
That's up to them at that point.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And the recommendation. My only question I have on this is, who's the fire officer in charge?
Okay, so this is an actual update of 7-313. So what this is doing,
the underlying section is actually adding authority to the fire. So what this actually is this is taken out of what a fire officer can do during a during an emergency. So I don't know why they would put it here, and I guess it makes sense because they're giving authority to it. But unfortunately for this section, it specifically names chief, whereas the parts above it say officer in charge.
Well, Section A does mention chief, but it also mentions fire officer in charge. Where else does it say chief?
So the change section is B. Page 2. So it says chief of such firefighters halfway through, sir.
Okay.
First sentence. Chief of such firefighters, fire department shall have the authority to determine whether such firefighters are active.
Tim, we have four chiefs, right?
Yes, sir.
So is there any reason we can't appoint four?
Well, I would say
volunteer a career. I don't think that would be okay.
The issue there is, off the top of my head, is we are not agents of those organizations. We clearly fall under the town of Montville as their employer-employee relations. So you would want somebody, of our organization in the town of Montville would have to declare they're not part of the town of Montville. So I would say no.
I think it's a big good question.
Yeah, I would say just going through this too, you have four contracts like I stated earlier that say that no time will one agency be able to bind another. You could make an argument while we're just talking about it that if you gave fire chief that type of authority, you were binding the town in a way that was outside of the purview of that agreement, plus the whole mirror agreement that exists between them.
So can I just ask, there's nothing on the books now, God forbid something happened to you 2 days ago.
Well, this doesn't take effect until October 1.
And if we don't do this?
If we don't do this, then I would say that you're going to be in a quagmire should something happen, because if we don't define who can declare for us, then how can you say who has the authority to declare or not?
It's still workers' comp.
It's still workers' comp, but if you have a land duty death, it opens up a lot more avenues, benefits for the families of the deceased.
So it's nothing against the town, it's just benefits the family?
This is to try to provide for those
small. Yeah. Say we're recommending body. Let's push it to this town council to do it.
Make the motion.
I mean,
I make a motion. Go ahead, Brian.
I'll put it in comments.
I'm sorry?
I'll say what I have to say in comments. Under comments, you've made a motion, seconded already, right?
Oh, sorry.
What is the motion?
The motion is to present or recommend the ordinance to the town council, the line of duty bill that passed in May, unless I have to be more specific.
Awesome.
I would say in there we've got to put language in there that we recommend that they form an ordinance, because that's the only way that can be supported. Would you agree, Mr. Mayor? So I think we'd have to add that as language in there that we recommend.
To recommend an ordinance.
An ordinance be drafted to deal with it. But there's some legal stuff. Well, we'll do that under comments.
All right, so you're going to make your motion is to forward to the town council approval of
recommendation.
A recommendation of Public Act 16 to create an ordinance to support the line of duty death.
Yes.
Needs
in Public Act 416.
Yep.
Can I just, as a press comment, I would just narrow that down, because you have chief of police and you have volunteer firefighters.
No, that's right.
You're not looking to limit those individuals' ability. We're just looking to cover.
Because they fall underneath this whole thing.
Well, we, even though the departments are all set up as fire EMS,
there's no distinction in the fire departments in town that you're either fire or EMS. So I think it's safe to just say a fire chief or somebody like that that fits the bill. We don't have to worry about the EMS side of it.
Sorry, I didn't mean to bring those other ones into.
Well, you know, for the benefit or to assist clarification, I think it clearly states that recommended the town council create or authorize an ordinance as identified in 2416 section B.
Yep. Gloria, could you read back what the motion is, please? I'm lost.
Okay. So it's simple.
Is that say it again, Mayor? I'm just saying. We're going with yours.
I'm confused.
You're recommending that the town council authorize an ordinance in consideration of Public Act 2416. Section B.
All right, I second the mayor's motion.
Well, we have one from Karen.
This covers police too, right?
Fire
EMS. The whole act does, yeah. But the change was just related to
fire EMS.
Do you want to retract yours or use the mayor's language?
Yes, please. That's what I wasn't sure if you want to be specific, and I was just saying it would have passed in May.
You have it, Gloria?
Well, that's up
you have
to
the mayor's.
Include the police and
no, because I don't want to mess around with them. They're,
no, you have
they already
to.
Have their own.
You
all
have
right.
to include the police because police are included in this in the change.
In the whole thing, but the change.
Yeah, that's what I don't want
to. You don't have to include the police or fire. It just needs to be narrowed to career staff because they have a chief of police. The volunteers have a chief of
It's not spelled out in the act to cover the career firefighters. It's the town of Montville situation that we have to deal with. All right, we got it straight now?
Okay, no. I would like to make a motion.
Milli Vanilli this thing.
I recommend that the town council authorize an ordinance in pertaining to career firefighters. As identified in Public Act 2416, Section B.
That's my motion.
A second, that, Gloria.
Roll call vote.
Commissioner Perkins?
Yes.
Commissioner Bauer?
Yes.
Commissioner Stewart?
Yes.
Commissioner Baker?
Yes.
Commissioner
Gillette?
Yes.
Motion passes. All right. I know why Gary took the night off. Okay. No other new business. Remarks from the public. Non-agenda items only. 3-minute limit.
Them, it goes to the council
Remarks from the public. Non-agenda items only. Anybody else? Remarks from the public. Non-agenda items. Remarks from the public. Remarks from the mayor.
Let's start off with talking about on June 12th. The four companies implemented the inventory program called PS Tracks, a program to document and record vehicle and equipment checks, and it replaces the paper system. On the building official, we now have a list of I think it's five of a long list of applicants on the building inspector trainee entry level, which will be hired by COG, and on-the-job training will be provided by the town where the person will actually be working with a building official for 3 weeks, and then they will take a residential building official test to where once they pass that test, then the town will hire that person to be the entry level Inspector 3 by the contract terms as a building official, but not the main building official. You follow what I mean? It's just a entry level at the lower level. I do know that we still have the building official posted in Indeed and elsewhere. So we have never stopped looking for a building official. But this trainee is a way to get somebody in, get them started, and hopefully we can keep them once they're trained and build them up to doing commercial inspections as well as anything else that might come down the line.
I have a kind of a procedural question. You're talking about the fact that COG is going to hire this individual, he's going to be working in Montville, and then we're going to hire him. Now, historically, the Public Safety Commission goes through as a oral interviews, if you will. Do we need to pass a resolution to get around that? Or, I mean, if you want to follow the rules.
Well, I would say that that's going to be a predicament because he's being hired by COG, mm-hmm. and yet once he completes, he or she completes the training and passes the test by the state, I know we're required to authorize, recommend three, but there's not going to be three. Is only going to be the one.
Yeah.
And we certainly could include an interview and look for a recommendation from public safety to take that person on. If that'll satisfy the, what do you think?
Under the circumstances, I think that's, you know, it's part of the Public Safety Commission rules and regs. And
brought that up.
But it's not necessarily the town's, I don't know what the town's hiring policy is in that regard. I mean, typically, like I said, it goes through us, and we're going to have to do it consciously to change that.
Well, I think you're right, and I'm glad you did bring that up, and I will include the public safety to be part of the process and at least have the opportunity to interview him. Right. Once he completes the test for a residential building inspector.
Right.
If I could just ask one question, Mr. Mayor. Financially, you said COG hires them.
Yeah.
And then once they pass the test, then we take the responsibility of the salary from there. Is that how it
yes.
works?
Yeah.
Okay.
We signed the contract with COG already, so it's in process.
Yeah, and the money's already in the budget anyway, so, I mean, everything's good there. Okay.
For the animal control facility, I just want to state that, first of all, the water is not contaminated and we are not killing dogs. It is potable. I've had the water
sampled numerous times for numerous ingredients, and it's come back with a high level of sodium, but it's still within the allowable limits. The sign saying "Do not drink this water" has been taken down, and I don't know why it was put up all those years ago. But the as far as the funding for it, the previous bids are being reviewed by the architect because it is believed now we have to conform with the state funding requirements, such as CHRO and prevailing wages and. Not even sure what else, but there's more. So it's back in the architect's hands right now, and I'm waiting for their report, and we're going forward with it. I authorized the change to the turnout gear so that everyone's turnout gear matches in the colors and the specs. I hope that's done. That's a done deal. That's it.
Any questions for the mayor?
No. All right.
Town council liaison is absent tonight. Remarks from commissioners. Commissioner Gillette.
All set.
Commissioner Baker.
As always, thank you to the public safety team. You guys are the ones that are working out there every day, getting it done, saving lives and property, and we certainly appreciate all your efforts.
Mr. Bauer.
No.
Mr. Perkins.
All set.
Yes. All. Thank you to all the our public safety responders. And have a safe and happy 4th of July. Motion to adjourn?
Make a motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
7:25.